Welcome back to this week's episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, and I want to take a moment to express my deep gratitude for the community of returning and new listeners that we have acquired in the past couple of months. It has been an absolute blast filming this podcast for each and every one of you every single week. And in making that statement, I have to address the elephant in the room, and that is the missing episode from last week. I didn't forget to film or record. Florida, my dear home state, was hit with a horrendous storm, and we were posted up at my family's home in Central Florida. But everyone is safe, and we are so fortunate to be back this week discussing another hot topic and one that is near and dear to my heart, and that is you. You making this health thing or this prep thing harder than it needs to be. I see this whole notion of something being more difficult than it needs to be and us creating that reality more often than not, as a coach leading other women with such diversified goals through creating healthier habits, fat loss phases, and even onto the stage as NPC bikini competitors or even IFBB pro status. So, today we're going to discuss the three ways that I see this notion of harder play out in different scenarios. And we're all going to commit to stop making this such a painstakingly difficult journey for ourselves before we get there. But to start off today's discussion, I think we first need to take a moment to explore why. You know, I can give you all the tools in the world to stop making things so hard on yourself. But at the end of the day, if we have not dissected and addressed why this even happens, it's going to be difficult for you to anchor into this message. So, in my 7 years of involvement, both as a professional athlete and as a coach for others, I have found this obsession. Obsession is probably the best word for it. This obsession, or maybe tendency to make things more difficult, to come from one of five different factors. Okay. First, cultural conditioning, right? We're conditioned to believe in the no pain, no gain mentality, where only extreme effort or sacrifice yields results. And this belief is reinforced by fitness culture, media, and the marketing, which often highlight intense transformations, extreme diets, or even grueling workouts as the path to success. And as a result, we have learned to equate difficulty with progress. Second, perfectionism and control. Many of us struggle with perfectionism, or feeling that if we don't make things hard or rigid, we aren't trying hard enough. Control can be comforting, and by setting extreme standards or rigid routines, we feel more in control of the outcome. This can lead to unnecessary difficulty and burnout because it feels like the only way to guarantee success. Third, an all-or-nothing mindset. There's often a misconception that results can only come from extremes. People either go all in, cutting out entire food groups, engaging in exhaustive workout routines, or they do nothing at all. And this mentality encourages the idea that balance or moderation, it's not enough to yield results. Fourth, fear of failure. Sometimes making things harder than they need to be is a form of self-sabotage, right? If we believe a goal is too easy to achieve, we might feel unworthy or worried that failure would mean we're not capable. By making the journey harder, we create an excuse or a buffer for why we might not succeed, which feels safer, truthfully, than risking failure with simpler methods. And fifth, validation and worth. In many cases, we associate our worth or validation with how hard we work. If we're pushing ourselves to extremes, it can feel like we're proving our dedication to ourselves or others. And this belief can keep us trapped in cycles of overworking, over-restricting, and punishing our bodies, thinking that the harder we make things, the more worthy the results are. But the reality is, we've all been here before. You've done hard, girl. It is time for you to recognize that hard is no longer doing the trick. It's not yielding the results, and you are winding up right back where you began each and every time you give up because you sabotage yourself in the process of getting to the finish line. And maybe you're starting to realize that you too have adopted this belief system along the way. Somewhere, and you're recognizing here that one of the above five thought processes that I just discussed, you've came to accept as truth. But maybe you're sitting behind a screen or you're on the Stairmaster and you're thinking, I don't even know where it's showing up in my life. Well, get ready to have your mind blown, because in the next few minutes, we are going to explore the top three ways in which you're making this way too hard on yourself and what you can do to turn it around. If you have a pen and paper, or maybe you need to swipe over to your iPhone notes, this is one you're going to want to write down. Truth number one, you're forcing yourself to find discipline that doesn't exist. Something that I've talked about on previous episodes is how addicted we are with testing our limits and boundaries. One of my athletes and dear friends checked in with me after prepping for the past few months, frustrated with herself because she'd gone on an entire family vacation 2 weeks out from her show with meals prepped and a solid plan for success to not sabotage any bit of her prep. She got home and she binged. And this isn't her fault. In many ways, this is healthy human behavior. We thrive on testing ourselves for one of five reasons. Number one, innate drive for growth and mastery. We're humans. We are wired with an intrinsic motivation to grow, learn, and improve. And testing our limits allow us to see how far we can push ourselves. And in doing so, we gain a sense of mastery over our environment and of our own abilities. This pursuit of self-improvement proves a sense of accomplishment, fulfillment, and competence, which are truthfully key components of psychological well-being. Second, evolutionary advantage. From a literal evolutionary standpoint, testing limits can be seen as a way to enhance survival. Early humans who explored and pushed their boundaries learned new skills. They discovered resources. They improved their problem-solving abilities. And this helped them to adapt to challenges, overcome obstacles, and ultimately thrive. Even today, the desire to test limits can be a form of adaptive behavior. Pushing oneself beyond comfort helps to achieve success. Number three, dopamine and reward systems. When we challenge ourselves and we push past perceived limits, our brain's reward system releases dopamine. Dopamine, remember, is that neurotransmitter that's associated with pleasure and motivation. Whether it's the satisfaction of completing a difficult workout, solving a complex problem, or achieving a personal goal, these perceived wins activate that reward center within us, reinforcing the behavior and encouraging us to seek further challenges. So for these three reasons alone, you can see why we are constantly seeking to test ourselves and to test our limits, right? In the case of a prep, you know how delicious that almond butter in the pantry looks when you're in a deficit and it's calling your name. And now you're sleepwalking in the middle of the night to the cupboard to take a tablespoon out, and discipline is nowhere to be found. And this is how I want you to think of your discipline: fleeting, obsolete. Don't even allow yourself to go there, girl. Toss that stuff out. If you can't go to a grocery store when you're 3 weeks out without buying all the things you can't have, order your groceries online. If you know that when you get home, your kids are going to be pulling you in 100 different directions. Mom, I need help with schoolwork. Mom, can you pack me that lunch tomorrow? Mom, I need you to go pick me up a poster board for my project due tomorrow. Don't go home. The second you get there and your behind hits the couch, you're not getting up, and that discipline has distanced itself from you. You're not getting to the gym. Pack your gym clothes in your bag and go straight when you get off work. If you truly want to begin to accept that this doesn't need to be hard, then stop making it so hard on yourself. Remove your necessity for discipline. We're moving right along here, people. Maybe discipline isn't your doomsday, but instead, your perception of what is required of you to move the needle is so outlandish that you're never going to get there. This is thing number two. Truth number two, if you're writing this down, is called the 100% effort fallacy. If you're not giving something 100%, doesn't matter, right? Wrong, wrong, and wrong. You guys, do you know how many days I truly give 100%? Like literally, the literal 100%. Maybe 1 to 2 days out of a 365-day calendar year. And the truth behind this is that every day, your 100% effort is going to be different. There's some days I wake up and it takes everything in me. And I literally mean everything in me for me to make the same breakfast that I have had every single day. And for me on other days, making the same breakfast is more of a 65% effort. Creating an entirely new breakfast and planning out the remainder of my day around that breakfast, maybe even incorporating in a treat or two, that blows my 65% effort day, that at the time really felt like 100%, out of the water. There's also days where I can barely get in my 10,000 steps. I do it, but it feels like I am pulling my teeth. And guess what? That's my 100% for the day. Like truly, you guys, my 100%. Now, if I sold myself short and I knew that I could get the 10,000 steps and I didn't, that's a very different argument and not the one I'm trying to make here. Conversely, there's days where my 100% is 20,000 steps plus a leg day. And what I'm getting at is if I required myself to give the literal 100% each and every day, I would be invincible. I certainly wouldn't have a life. And honestly, I'd probably never grow. Your effort each day is relative. And a question that you can ask yourself, if and only if you can be 100% honest when answering this, is when you reflect on your actions, whether it's cumulatively for the day, maybe within that hour, for a particular meal, or even for that month, it's simple. Did you give it your absolute best? I had a client check in with me this past week, and she was talking about how she was prematurely starting to harbor a tremendous amount of guilt for an upcoming weekend that was going to be characterized by a few meals that wouldn't be prepared by her. She was going to try to log them into her tracking app as best as she could, but she felt so guilty for not knowing the exact ingredients, calories, macros, etc., going into these foods that were being prepared for her. The fallacy here, she hadn't adjusted her effort scale, and she expected herself to still maintain that exact same standard for herself, despite circumstances that were out of her control. This standard needed to be adjusted given the circumstances. She was planning and would do the very best that she could and had nothing to feel guilty about. But had that expectation not been adjusted, her reflection of her progress would have been poor. And in time, this would eat away at her and she would likely give up on herself. Maybe you're the person that doesn't log your food if you don't know exactly what's in it. Or maybe you're the person that gets texted by the girls and asked, "Hey guys, you down for dinner tonight?" and just goes with the flow. And I get it. We may not always have an opportunity to interject with our opinion or preference for an outing, but stop perceiving the bar to always stay at 100%. 100% effort when you're going out to eat doesn't mean that you need to know the exact ingredients to log into your tracking app. Do the best that you can. Order simply. Minimize as many of the complex ingredients as possible and put something into the app that looks accurate. 100% effort when going out with friends, if they don't care where you go, is suggesting a restaurant that maybe provides nutritional information, or maybe a restaurant where you have a go-to quote-unquote safe order at. If you are always seeing the bar at 100% and that being the necessary standard to quote-unquote move the needle, your needle is not going to move. Because the actual number of times where you're going to be able to truly hit that 100% mark is next to none. If I never allowed my bar to adjust and say the only bar worth reaching was the one where I got 8 hours of sleep, 20,000 steps, and a leg day completed, then I would likely have more days sitting on my butt, eating like crap and barely moving than where I actually met the standard. But because my bar adjusts, I have the in-between days. I have the days where I get in a light whole body circuit. I have the days where I might not have it in me for a workout, but I can make it to a Pilates class. I have the days where I get 10 to 12,000 steps, and this is so much better than nothing. Wondering if you're truly giving your journey your relative quote unquote all? Something that has always helped me to ensure that I'm doing 100% is to seek to be just minorly inconvenienced. If you're the woman who says, I'm not losing weight, but I'm very active, and you've always been very active, you're right. You can't expect to lose weight, but if you're doing just a little extra and maybe you cut down on your drinking, or maybe you committed to cooking 1 to 2 meals from home during the day, you've now posited yourself in a position to be just minorly inconvenienced. And maybe for you, this is 100% effort. I'm not going to include this technically third tip as a third because I do agree that it's more of a subsidiary to this one. But if you do find that your bar is set to 100 and it's steel bolted on either side, hence if you reach 98%, you're a failure. You're probably also an all or nothing thinker. And you're probably also finding that you're having more perceived bad days than good ones. So give yourself permission to be a little bit more gentle to yourself. It's not going to take 10,000 steps, strength training 5 times a week, 2 hours in the sauna, HIIT classes, intermittent fasting to lose 5 pounds. If it does, you probably don't truly have 5 pounds to lose. By allowing your bar to have relative heights and for it to be adjusted, you're going to find that you're going to be a lot more consistent. Maybe each day isn't perfect, but you're going to create that positive sloping trend for yourself where over time, the bar consistently gets a little bit higher because you'll always be giving yourself your all. You'll be proud of what you achieve, even if it's not 100% perfect, because it's effort and it's intentional. And because you didn't always want to, but you did it anyways. And most importantly, it wasn't unrealistic or extreme. But maybe, just maybe, you've already removed the necessity for discipline a long time ago, and you recently had your bar renovated, and that bar is now adjustable. But you're still listening, and you're like, Maddie, over here, you're missing me. I resonate with the must be hard talk, but I'm not sure where this theme is showing up in my life. Don't worry, I have not forgotten about you. Let's see if this one does the trick. Are you the person that always sees the grass as being greener on the other side? Oh, but all my friends are getting married. It must be nice. I hate being single. It's tough. Or maybe you're the one that says, oh, I just wish that I could get out there, explore a little bit. Dating used to be so fun and liberating. Maybe you're the one that's not prepping, but dying to get back on that Stairmaster and shed the body fat again. Or conversely, maybe you're the one that's in prep and you are envying your friends that get 300 carbs a day. Stop searching for how you can identify with the have-nots. You are a have. Find your other haves. I remember when I used to prep and always find myself in the depths of Instagram looking at videos of food creations. And truthfully, like sweets that I would never even eat in an off season or in my day to day. But man, I was like, I am missing out. Missing out. Poor me. Maybe you're in an off season and you're dying because you feel like the only girl who's gone up a pant size or two. You're not alone, but you sure feel like it because the only thing you do is torture yourself by looking at peeled competitors. And truthfully, there's no flaw in this if you truly use it for motivation, But let's be honest, 99% of us don't. We're sitting here playing the wish it was me game and counting down the days till we can cut, not even thinking that the peeled girl is probably scrolling through her own camera roll, looking at pictures from when she was curvy and looked more feminine. You know what I used to do? I would find other competitors in their off season to follow. And I was way more present as a result. Maybe you're a new mom. Maybe you're struggling with what your body looks like and you're harboring resentment for the body that just carried a baby to term. You envy the woman who seemed to have bounced back or the woman who have not yet had kids. And that's all you can think about. Now you're telling yourself, I'll never get there. Seems impossible to look like that again. Or why even try at this point? And every Monday, you're pressing restart on your journey to self-deprecating actions. Find other moms who are documenting their postpartum journey and begin affirming for yourself how strong and resilient your body has been for what it has done for you and the life that it's created. And the only person that I was hurting in this process was myself. Just because you're not in a fat loss phase yet doesn't mean you don't have what the women who are in fat loss phases have. You're just in the middle of a different chapter, likely for a very intentional reason. And remember, those women were once in your same position too. But if you are always investing more of your time, energy, and brain power focusing on all the things that you don't have or can't have, you're never going to get A, the lessons in the present moment that you likely need to learn, and B, to your end goal. Because where you're at and who you are in that chapter or in that season of your life isn't enough. And if you can't believe that you're enough now, getting to the other side or to the goal that you have in mind is not going to change that. You are one decision away from freeing yourself from the mental anguish that you've put yourself through. The agony that you felt. Oh, but Maddie, eating more food, it's just so hard. You don't get it. Yes, I do get it. I had to eat more food in order to get to the place where eating less food did what it was supposed to do. It doesn't need to be hard. But if you search for the hard, you will always find it. The beautiful lesson here is that if you search for the easy, you're going to find that too. Usually a lot easier with a lot less effort than you've put forth to find the hard. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. I want to thank you all again for tuning in and for being part of this community. Whether you're starting out on your journey or you've been with us from the very beginning, remember, life, fitness, and everything in between does not have to be as difficult as we often make it. The key is to drop your sword, remove the necessity for discipline, adjust the bar when necessary, trusting that your consistent effort, whether it's 65% or 100% that day, is enough. You are enough. And stop seeing yourself as a have-not. Girl, you have it all right here and today. If you found today's conversation helpful, please share it with a friend or leave a review. I love hearing how these topics resonate with you all. And as always, I'll be back next week with more insights, stories, and actionable advice to keep you moving forward on your health journey. If you're interested in working with our team one-on-one, we would love to welcome you into our community. Click the link in our description to be contacted for a one-on-one discovery call, or head over to my Instagram page at Mads Michie Fitness, and we can discuss how our team might approach working with you on your customized journey to living well. Until next time, stay strong, stay mindful, and remember, you've got this.